Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
And welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja.
Hey, you know you got Dugo here. What's going on, folks?
It's week three, baby. We've had a lot of injuries throughout the first couple of weeks of fantasy football. So my job today is to go ahead and provide you guys with not only some good targets to go out there and scoop up on your fantasy teams, but to kind of show you guys how to navigate these choppy waters over, you know, the next week or so.
So many injuries, bro. Let's not just glance over that. There's been so many injuries.
A lot of injuries.
Dog, and I'm not going to lie, I hate to be that guy, but my teams have been fucking affected a lot. I have one team alone that had Deebo Samuel, T. Higgins, and Isaiah Pacheco. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, bro, I'm asking for like a fourth IR spot at this point. Like, I just can't go on. And I also have TJ Hockenson on that team as well that I've been trying to bogard, but I might have to just release him at this point, bro. It's crazy.
So I guess we're after the waiver period, but was there any big waiver pickups that you really enjoyed?
Dog. Yeah, there was a lot of people that I really put out a lot of fab for that I was really hoping to get, and I did in a couple leagues. There's also a couple that, you know, you're playing like the waiver wire where you might be 12th and there's no chance in hell you're going to see like someone like a Carson Steele, unfortunately. Well, Carson Steele was definitely one of the guys that I thought was the pickup of the week if you're able to get him, especially if you had an Isaiah Pacheco or just be in need of a running back in general, because that guy could be the next one. So yeah, man, definitely thought Carson Steele could definitely be that cat pickup of the week, if you ask me. Otherwise, I feel like Jalen Naylor or Jaden Naylor, one of the two. That guy is, I think, going to be something to watch out for, whether it be him working through the slot or what have you. Even if Jordan Addison were to come back, who he was kind of replacing, I think he could have a larger impact in this offense that we were thinking beforehand. It just seems like he's kind of like that the slot guy, or, you know, like the check down guy that you probably would see like TJ Hockenson or what have you kind of work in that role. And he's fulfilling that role really well, if you ask me. And this last week with him having a snap count over 90% of the offensive snaps out there, I don't think that's a mistake. I think that KOC Kevin O'Connell saw what he did that week one and wants to get this guy more integrated into this offense. So I think if Naylor's still out there, the guy's owned in like 5-6% of leagues, I would definitely possibly go out there. And if you're just hoping that someone can get like a touchdown for you or just have a decent week where you need it, like I did this last week with Ray McLeod, just a spot start on a Monday, where he can get you just a couple points, you know, like I just think that he could be that cat for you. I don't know if he's going to go out there and get you 20 points, but could he go out there and get you 7-8? I definitely think he could.
I think Hunter Henry was another really good pickup this week.
Dog, the guy's like tight end 5 right now.
Hunter Henry was a really good pickup this week because, once again, like Dugo said, he's tight end 5, but the Patriots have the highest propensity to toss to tight ends. Hunter Henry through 2 weeks has 15 total targets, in which he's caught 10 targets, and he's leading a somewhat dwindled group of tight ends because those guys just haven't really been putting points up. Tight end's been a really tough market this year so far, Dugo.
Yeah, dude, you're not wrong. I mean, you even have people like Brenton Strange out there that are outranking their tight end ones like, you know, like an Evan Engram out there for the Jaguars. It's just been such a weird year. You have Tucker Kraft outranking Luke Musgrave, who everyone thought Luke Musgrave was going to be this top 10 freak this year.
Not happening so far.
Haven't seen it at all. And maybe it was, as far as the Packers, maybe there was something in the preseason that could have told you that. But what have you. Bro, tell me, what was the biggest surprise from this last week before we get into the games of the week this upcoming week?
I think the biggest surprise from the last week has to go towards the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara.
For sure.
Alvin Kamara having another game in which he scores over 40 points.
The Kamara week, bro. Yo, it's as consistent as Christmas comes every year.
Bro, and it always happens against the Cowboys. Alvin Kamara hates Dallas. He hates the Cowboys. Every time he plays them, he goes crazy. Right now, Alvin Kamara is the RB1 in all of fantasy football.
Right.
And last week, he scored 45 points against the Dallas Cowboys offense. During the last 2 weeks, he has finished as RB1 and RB6. For reference, he was a late third round, early fourth round pick, and he's performing as if he was the 1-1. Now, Alvin Kamara has been having a great offense and a great season so far, but so has the whole Saints offensive staff.
Right.
They hired Clint Kubiak to come in and dictate the plays and dictate the scheme.
Yep.
And Derek Carr has been delivering. Dugo, when it comes to Derek Carr, I guess, do you have him in the QB1 category for fantasy quarterbacks so far? Right now, he's QB2. Or do you think that's something that's going to fall? And maybe you should sell high while you got it.
Well, I mean, realistically, if you have this kid on your roster, if there's someone out there that is QB needy, let's say like they went super high on like Trevor Lawrence or what have you, where they're just kind of in the dumps looking for a QB right now, not looking at the waiver wire. If you could trade them for something kind of high where you could get like maybe borderline starting wide receiver or something like that, you know, even like a wide receiver 3, I would fully pull that trigger, just because at some point I do think that this is going to even out. I don't know if he's going to come to the Derek Carr that we knew of old, where it was, you know, quarterback 20 play, but maybe he falls down to like QB 12 by the end of the year. And if you can sell him at a QB 2 rate, why not? You know, I just think that there's a lot of value with that, and especially right now with all these injuries happening to these skill players, I definitely think that you can get your hands on a quarterback down the line on the waiver wire where you could definitely make a play for a wide receiver 3 or even a backup running back maybe with that.
I agree with you. And so, you know what? Let's go ahead and do this. We're going to go through each and every game from this upcoming weekend, and me and Dugo are going to provide you with the best fantasy plays from each game.
Sure.
So we're going to start with the Thursday night matchup with the New England Patriots versus the New York Jets. Dugo, from that matchup, we know Breece Hall's been crazy. He's been putting up a lot of touchdowns.
Yep.
Patriots have won a game, which is something that's kind of foreign to say the last couple years.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and his ability to distribute against the New England Patriots defense in week 3 of the season?
Yeah, man, I think it's definitely going to be one of those trickier games, I think. I mean, if you just look at the New England defense in general, regardless of who they're playing, even last year when they're in the dumps, I don't know if you could necessarily say that they were the worst team defensively. And this year coming into it as well, I think they're very well coached and well managed, and I don't think they're able to really make those larger errors like maybe they did last year where it led to some of those longer touchdown plays and whatnot. But I think that having Christian Gonzalez, I believe is his name, the cornerback over there, mm-hmm. having a year under his belt, and then the rest of the defense also just, you know, getting back into the swing of things, I think it's been kind of a resurgence. I'm not sure exactly where they're ranking right now, but I definitely think that the Patriots are still just as disciplined as they were ever. And so that might be a problem for Rodgers where, you know, he's looking for some of those free plays, or he's looking to look for play action plays where he might get the linebacker to bite or have a cornerback look in the pocket a little too much. So with a team as disciplined as the Patriots, let's probably look for the run game to go early on, especially on a Thursday. So let's look at Breece Hall and Braylon Allen getting large workloads. I'm not going to say it's going to be 50-50. Let's say probably 70-30, Brees Hall, Braylon Allen. And then as far as receiving, I'm going to say Garrett Wilson probably gets about 15 targets.
Right. Garrett Wilson is somebody who I think is going to pick up during the latter part of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I think just Rodgers getting more and more comfortable with that Achilles tear, man. I mean, we saw it the second week with Kirk Cousins, I think, was the biggest example out there. I mean, the comfortability that he had week one compared to week two was insurmountable, if you ask me. So I think you could probably maybe say the same thing with Rodgers. Maybe he didn't show it the way that Kirk Cousins did, but the more and more you're out there, obviously he's going to get more comfortable. So week three for Rodgers, you might as well call this a homecoming week for him.
You think so?
Yeah, I would say that he's going to be probably as comfortable as he's probably been. Spotlight's on him the way he likes it. Thursday night, he's going to be at home. Yeah, I think that the Jets are going to win this game ultimately, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have a hell of a night.
Okay, I like that. One thing about Garrett Wilson I'll say, too, is that he has not scored a touchdown. Right now, he has about 17.1 fantasy points throughout the season, assuming you play in a, you know, a half PPR type of league. If he scores a touchdown, he goes from wide receiver 37 all the way up until wide receiver 23, right? So while it's not the most significant jump, it's not a wide receiver one jump that you probably drafted him to, you know, complete.
Right.
It's a major leap. And eventually those touchdowns are going to come. By Thanksgiving, he's going to have a two-touchdown game, and he's going to be somebody in the playoffs when the Jets are fighting for playoff positioning with Rodgers in one of his last years. He's going to become a vital part of that, assuming his health. And you're going to want Garrett Wilson on your team at the end of the year. So Garrett Wilson's one of those buy early targets that I really enjoy. Only about 8 points each week for the last 2 weeks. Dog, I think he's going to go ahead and provide you guys way more value. Similar to like a Tank Dell, I think you should buy now. And if you can afford it, hey, dog, hold off on the rewards and you'll see them. You'll see them come plentiful.
I don't hate that, man. I definitely think that Garrett Wilson will pop off at some point this year. And once that happens, I think it's going to happen like a wildfire. It's just going to keep happening. So maybe week three is a play. I just think against a really keen defense like the Patriots, it might be a little less likely to happen where he just has the game of his career. I do think that they're going to try to get him as integrated as possible though in the next couple coming weeks. So I don't hate that idea that you're bringing to us.
Okay. And speaking of games, let's talk about the next game, which is the Giants versus the Browns.
Oh, this might be the worst game of the week, bro.
Sunday, 12 o'clock game. Who you got winning that game?
I have the – give me the Browns winning it. They're at home, and the Giants are just kind of a shithole, if you ask me. I actually have Jerry Jeudy on one of my teams right now. I think he's, like, inside the top 30 wide receivers. So, if you're looking for a waiver wire pickup, he might be the guy. He actually has some sort of rapport with Deshaun Watson somehow, some way. So, I like Jerry Jeudy this week.
Okay. Amari Cooper is the guy I like on the same team.
Yep.
Amari Cooper hasn't had the greatest first 2 weeks to start, about 2 points a game. At some point, he's going to get it together. He has a ton of targets coming in his way, and the Giants have had a susceptible pass defense the last couple of weeks. Sam Darnold, from what I remember, was about 13 for 13 going against the Giants defense week one.
I believe it was 15 for 15 he ended up before his first incompletion.
Something like that. Deshaun Watson, who obviously has struggled the last couple of years, I think he's going to go ahead and, you know, kind of get it going, pick it up with Amari Cooper, and I think Amari Cooper has a bounce back game. The Giants, I'm not really playing anyone from that team. If I have Malik Nabers, I like him as a wide receiver two, wide receiver three.
Yeah, you're still playing him, yeah.
You're playing him. You're starting him. But if I have any guys who I would deem to be maybe start of the week, I think Amari Cooper is going to be the one to pop out. You know, he's good for an annual, you know, two touchdown, three touchdown type of game. it's coming soon, and why wouldn't it happen against the New York Giants, who have a core of cornerbacks that I can't name off the top of my head. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah, no joke, man. So, yeah, I would say probably I don't hate that. I would say probably any of the receivers on the Browns you could see to have a breakout game. I suggested Jerry Jeudy. I also like to see David Njoku finally break out this year. This guy has been almost non-existent, it seems like. He might be questionable, but I think if he plays, he's going to have a hell of a game. I just don't know a lot of these linebackers in the Giants, linebacking core, kind of like what you're saying about their secondary. So I could just see him kind of tearing those guys apart a little bit. I think he's questionable, so watch his status going into Thursday night, folks. But David Njoku may be a play.
Okay. And going from the Giants and the Cleveland Browns game, we have the Chicago Bears versus the Indianapolis Colts. So just a really quick, resurface on this game. The spread right now has the Colts favored by about 1.5 points. So, Vegas has Indianapolis winning. When it comes to Caleb Williams, he has struggled
mightily
a lot. Right, and DeAndre Swift hasn't really been able to get going. One thing I will be able to tell you from the Chicago Bears offensive side of things, they're planning on running the ball a lot more moving forward.
They need to, man. I mean, they just need to get some sort of cohesion going on with that offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing that's going on right now, is there's nothing of significant happening with that. And so once you get your offensive line going, I think everything else kind of just starts to steamroll a bit. So let's just focus on that if you're the Bears. Not saying I'm a huge Bears lover. But if you're trying to get points from them, if you have a DeAndre Swift or something, let's pray that they're able to get some sort of offense rolling with that run game. Because once that happens, then hopefully everything else can kind of click. I have Keenan Allen, guys. So I'm trying not to completely shit on the Bears this year. I still have to have some sort of faith, at least in that pass game. But Jesus Christ, is it tough. And as a Packers fan, I love to see it.
One thing about the Colts is that they are vulnerable to the run D.
Right. I was thinking big DeAndre Swift game, if they can get it going.
Exactly. Josh Jacobs, if you guys weren't aware, led the NFL last week in rushing yards. And it was a game in which Jordan Love was hurt. The Packers started Malik Willis. Josh Jacobs got about 30 touches, and he had over 150 rushing yards. The Colts are susceptible to rushing attacks, and this is a game in which, once again, like Dugo said, DeAndre Swift could have a big game. I think if DeAndre Swift does get his opportunity, he's going to excel. He's a great DFS value pick. He's a great pick for all of your fantasy leagues, but more extraordinarily, I think that the Chicago Bears might actually have an opportunity against a semi-good team. I got DeAndre Swift being the start of the week for me. I'm not putting too much emphasis on the Chicago Bears wide receivers this week. I got to see how Caleb Williams performs, see how he is, but I like the Bears winning this week. I think DeAndre Swift is a big part of that.
Fair enough, man. If I had to pick someone out of this game where you could probably look to start them, I would probably be looking at DJ Moore. I've seen the frustration on his face. And if I'm Waldron or whoever the hell the offensive coordinator is, if I'm trying to keep my job, I got to keep my number one guy happy, which is my wide receiver one, DJ Moore. I'm looking to get that guy integrated in the jet sweeps. Anyway, I can get the ball in that guy's hands this week. So look to get that going. If you are a DJ Moore holder, maybe keep him in your lineup one more week.
All right. And the next game we got is the Minnesota Vikings versus the Houston Texans. This is going to be a big game filled with a lot of fantasy football offensive stars.
Stars.
We got Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson, Sam Darnold, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, CJ Stroud. Just some really quick notes on the defenses for the Texans and the Vikings. The Texans have allowed an average of 275 passing yards per game, which ranks 28th in the league. The pass rush has only recorded 3 sacks in 2 games, which kind of indicates that there's a lack of pressure on opposing quarterbacks who play the Texans defense. And for reference with the Vikings have given up about 145 rushing yards a game. Last week, Jordan Mason had an amazing game for the San Francisco 49ers in their loss against the Vikings. And this kind of suggests that there is a vulnerability to a strong running game. So, Texans, Vikings. The Texans give up a bunch of passing yards. The Vikings give up a bunch of rushing yards. Dugo, I'll go ahead and just keep going. I think that Justin Jefferson, who has 250 reception yards and two touchdowns this year, averaging 125 reception yards per game.
Okay.
Against the Texans' weak 28th out of 32 passing defense, I think Jay Jets has a big game. I also believe that C.J. Stroud has a good game against the Vikings' offense, even though the Vikings, their strength is the rushing game. I think without Joe Mixon, who has been hurt, C.J. Stroud will take over. You'll see a lot of shorter throws, but you'll see a higher volume of them. And I think that Justin Jefferson and C.J. Stroud are my two standout fantasy football players from the Texans and Vikings game.
I might have to go a different route, man. I think if I'm going to go two different stars this week on this game, give me Jay Jetta from the Vikings. I think that he has an opportunity to go off for sure. But from the Texans end, you know who I think might have a hell of a game?
Who?
Stephon Diggs.
You think so?
I think that this is still, I still think that this is still a revenge game for him, man. I really do. I think that with Stephon Diggs, he still got traded away from a team that was able and willing to go all the way right away. He didn't have to get any sort of rapport going on with Josh Allen, but they chose that to happen. And then they went on and they drafted some kid named Justin Jefferson, who the world thinks the world of him. And along with that, you also have Justin Jefferson, you know, just against him, or not necessarily against him, but on the other sideline. So I think at the end of the day, you're going to want to see your name as the star rather than the kid who replaced you. So all that to say, I think Stephon Diggs, kind of like how he had two touchdowns the first game, I think he might have two this game as well, if realistically. I think he knows the secondary isn't all that as great when you look at the names on the, you know, on the sheets. So I think he might be able to take advantage of that, being the damn near wide receiver three on that team. Brian Flores, obviously a hell of a defensive coordinator for the Vikings, but all in all, I think Stephon Diggs might be the X factor in this game for the Texans.
Okay. So Dugo's got Stephon Diggs. I have Justin Jefferson. And just to toss it in there, I think CJ Stroud is a quick and easy start.
Yep.
If you're in need of running back help, I don't hate Cam Akers as a flex, but I wouldn't feel super comfortable with him in my RB2, RB1 slot. Joe Mixon, we'll see how he recovers from that injury.
If I'm throwing a running back in as a starter this game, dog, I'm going with Aaron Jones 100%, dude. I think that he's one of those cats that can hit you through the run. He can hit you through the pass. All over the place, dude. This guy is an absolute beast. Has proven to still be so for the Vikings so far. So maybe he has a breakout game for you if he needs to.
And the next game we got is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be a really interesting game because it's between two teams that are in situations we maybe didn't predict to start off the year. The Saints are 2-0. Right, new offensive coordinator in Kubiak, and the Philadelphia Eagles are 1-1 despite the addition of Saquon Barkley. Now, between the two defenses of the Eagles and the Saints, the Eagles have allowed 130 rushing yards per game, which is 24th in the league, and the New Orleans Saints have struggled against mobile quarterbacks, allowing about 75 rushing yards to quarterbacks over the first two games. So Jalen Hurts is a mobile quarterback going up against the New Orleans Saints. And when it comes to the Eagles, who suck against, you know, rushing games, Alvin Kamara, who just came off of a multi-game, you know, or a multi-touchdown game, okay, he gets to phase up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Those are my two selections for plays of the week in terms of the Philadelphia Eagles and Saints game. Jalen Hurts, who has 500 passing yards this season, who has 150 rushing yards this season, who has 5 total touchdowns this season.
Dude. I think you might be missing out on one of the bigger plays this week, honestly. If there's one person that I think could...
Well, let me
yeah, finish your talk. I apologize.
Jalen Hurts is my start of the week at quarterback because of the propensity that the Saints have to give up rushing yards.
Okay.
Rushing yards. But on the other side, I got Alvin Kamara, who has 200 rushing yards, 100 receiving yards, bunch of touchdowns this season. I think that trend continues against the Eagles.
Fair enough, dude. Before I get into my starts of the week, let me just go out to say that if there's any big surprises of the year this year, it's not the Buccaneers. No, it's the New Orleans Saints. Everyone thought that this team was going to be in the running for the number one pick this year, and starting out 2-0, they definitely still could. I mean, it's not like the season is gift wrapped to you, so they still got to keep going on, right? No. This team is going to keep rolling because they have some sort of dog in them, man. And when they don't have that dog in them, they have a spark plug in them called Rashid Shaheed, who just goes off for 80-yard touchdowns whenever the fuck they need it. So I think that that's the reason why this team is an absolute unit this year. It's because they have different people who can just give them a plug. If it's not Rashid Shaheed that given moment, it might be an Alvin Kamara. So at the end of the day, when I say that my starts of the week are going to be Rashid Shaheed of the New Orleans Saints, he's going to get you another touchdown, folks. This guy, it's going to start coming like clockwork. Every week, just pencil this guy in for a long one. And then on the Philly side.
That sounds crazy.
And on the Philly side, Saquon Barkley. This guy is going to be an absolute unit this year for this guy, for this team. I think that realistically, the results that I've seen over the last 2 weeks, if there's a guy that I'm going to be crowning as RB1 so far this year, it's going to be Saquon Barkley.
Hey, if you follow Gumbo on Twitter, on Instagram, on any social media page, you knew that we love Saquon Barkley coming into this year's season. Moving on from the Philadelphia and New Orleans game, we got the Chargers versus the Steelers. Chargers versus the Steelers is maybe not as exciting.
But one of the only 2-0 matchups this week, surprisingly. Who would have penciled these two in as 2-0, by the way?
That's
kind
of crazy, yeah. The Chargers and the Steelers are 2-0, never lost a game.
Yeah, ain't never done it yet.
So with the Chargers and Steelers game, once again, you know what we do here. We talk about the defenses, right? We talk about the defenses that our offensive stars are going to have to face. The Chargers have allowed 160 rushing yards per game, which is close to last in the league. The Steelers, on the other hand, have allowed 300 passing yards per game, which is also on the back end. Translation, the Chargers suck against the rush game, and the Steelers suck against the passing game. Joey Porter Jr., great coverage cornerback, can't tackle for shit. So, offensive fantasy football stars from this matchup, I love Justin Herbert against the Steelers, who suck against the pass game. Justin Herbert, over the last two games, has 600 pass yards and 6 touchdowns.
Sheesh.
300 passing yards and 3 touchdowns per game, damn near.
Sheesh.
And against the Chargers, I like Najee Harris. The Chargers, once again, have allowed 160 rushing yards per game. If Najee Harris gets half of that workload, that's 80 yards right there. He's likely to get into the end zone. He could have a big week this week, Dugo.
Realistically, dog, if there's someone that I think might have a week that we haven't really talked about much this week or at all this year, I think Cordell Patterson might be in line for a decent week, realistically, out of the backfield. If you look at this Chargers defense, they are pretty disciplined, but one thing they are lacking is a really stellar linebacking core.
Right.
They have some decent linebackers, don't get me wrong. They're all NFL level. But I think that Cordell Patterson has been one of those cats that have been a gadget guy in years past that usually starts to show his stripes after the first couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely could be the case this year for him with his first year being with offensive coordinators that is familiar with him. And him finally getting integrated into the offense. Hasn't seen a lot of work this year, but I just have a feeling that this might be the week.
The Chargers have two of the highest ranked tackles from last week in Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater. TJ Watt, being an edge rusher, is going to have to go up against either one of those two tackles who have both been performing at a really high level. We have the Denver Broncos versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You want to start passers against the Buccaneers and rushers against the Broncos.
All right, tell me, who are my main targets that might not be already rostered?
On the Buccaneers side, I love Jalen McMillan.
So do I, man. That's Jalen a great McMillan. Pick.
He's going to be somebody who's going to get receptions. He's going to get targets. If he catches a big play, it'll go ahead and perform well against the Broncos defense. And if you're talking about rushing stars who could go ahead and perform against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're looking at guys like Javonte Williams. You're looking at guys like Jaleel McLaughlin. Honestly, I got to stick with Javonte Williams. He's the only guy I know that's going to be guaranteed to get touches. But I think Javonte has a decent game against the Buccaneers.
All right, so I'm going to spell this out for you quick, folks. I think this might be the breakout game for Bucky Irving. I know we saw him decently week one when they started to have a decent lead, but I think that not only are the Buccaneers going to take this game over early, but I think that they're going to take advantage of the weak linebacking core of this Broncos defense. I just think that they are athletic, but I think that Bucky Irving has the pass-catching ability out of the backfield that he's shown so far to be able to make some people miss and just be at least productive. So look for him to get some touches out of the backfield. Maybe might be checkdowns or what have you, but I like Bucky Irving this week for the Broncos. And then for the Buccaneers, or I'm sorry, and then for the Broncos, maybe I switched that up. So I like Bucky Irving for the Buccaneers, and then for the Broncos, I like Greg Dulcich, honestly. Kind of the same thing. I do like the Buccaneers linebacking core, but they are aging, and I think that this team is going to need to start moving the ball in unconventional ways, I would say. And one of the unconventional ways is through the tight end, it seems like, for Sean Payton at this point. Don't know how they had Jimmy Graham be such an alpha on all those Saints teams, and then Greg Dulcich just not be involved at all, it seems like. So I like Greg Dulcich being involved this week into the passing game.
Okay, Greg Dulcich is a starting tight end for you this week?
You know, I might look into it, man. If I'm pressing for a tight end, if I have just been one of those cats waiting on Evan Engram to show up or what have you, I might just switch him out for Greg Dulcich this week.
I don't like
Evan Engram against the Bank or against the Bills realistically, and just in general, like I said earlier, with Bretton Strange just seeming to be damn near the one on that team right now, I just don't like him that much. So that being said,
okay, cool. Well, let's talk about the next game, which is the Packers versus the Titans.
Yeah,
Malik Willis, big game last week against the Colts. Go Pack, go. How do you got the Packers versus Titans game breaking down?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think it's interesting. Just, you know, Malik's probably going to have the start again this week. And that being said, this is his old team, you know, the Titans. So they kind of have an idea of what he does well, or at least his teammates do. A lot of new coaches, a lot of new faces, so they don't necessarily know everything that Malik does, especially in a different scheme. So that being said, I think Malik is going to have a decent game, man. I think he's going to be able to go in there and run the program like he was this past week. I think it's going to be about the same, where it's going to be about 20, maybe 25 passes, if that. I honestly think that they might start to stretch it out a little bit once they get comfortable with this guy. So I think 25 passes max, and that's going to be pushing it if LaFleur feels more comfortable with him. Seemed like during all the press conferences and stuff that I've listened to, it seems like he is very comfortable with where he's at right now, so we might see him start to spread out the ball a little bit more. So if you do have a Romeo Doubs, who if you listen to the game or watch the game, Fox was saying that that's been one of his biggest targets in practice, was Romeo Doubs, especially in deep ball situations. So if you're looking for the longer passes in this offense right now, look towards Romeo Doubs.
Okay, I like Romeo Doubs a lot. He was the guy who I got in the 12th, 13th round of a lot of leagues.
And yeah, dude, you know, it was obviously just a lottery for the Packers, right? You obviously spent like 7th, 8th maybe on Jaden Reed if you're lucky, or you're spending, you know, one of those late caps on, you know, Romeo Doubs or what have you. But You know, I think that Romeo, like I said, he's not necessarily owned in all those leagues either. So if you're in, you know, some of those lighter leagues, you might have him just available on the waiver still damn near. So look towards him, man. I also, on the Tennessee Titans end, I believe, you know, Tony Pollard might just rip it up this game. I think that there's some weaknesses inside this Packers defense, unfortunately, and if they were to start that run game early on, I think it might flourish. So I like Tony Pollard.
The worst thing the Packers have had to face is two elite running backs the last 2 weeks. Week two against the Colts, they play Jonathan Taylor. And week one against the Eagles, they play Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Tony Pollard doesn't sound like a bad play whatsoever. But I'm also interested to see how the Packers look against a running back who's not all-world like a Jonathan Taylor.
Right. This will be like
a Saquon Barkley.
It'll be the first time where you see a more elite running back without an elite quarterback, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens, because if they're able to just apply more rush pressure and trust their DBs, I at this point, I might trust those four DBs or five DBs if they're playing a five DB set to just sit back there and play man, or to play some sort of cover two where they're playing a man zone scheme, you know, and just send more guys at these, at these gaps, you know, to cover the gaps. So that's where I'm at with that. I think that Tony Pollard could absolutely eat us up, if not Tajay Spears as well. Otherwise, let's not forget about Chigo Conquo, bro. I know we haven't really been eating up a lot by tight ends so much this year, and hopefully that doesn't become the case, but Chigo Conquo is a hell of an athlete for that team, and I could see them being a problem this week as well.
Chigo Conquo is one of those tight ends who I didn't really want to give a bunch of respect to, but as the weeks go by, as Chig starts to accumulate more points, I got to give a little bit more respect to him. So, Chigo Conquo, somebody to look out for. Last fun fact about the Green Bay Packers defense is they have allowed 17 plays, 15 yards or more to be completed against them. That is tied for the most in the NFL, which means that the Packers are allowing a lot of explosive plays.
Now, another thing to add, though, is they're also leading the NFL in takeaways as well.
You win some, you lose some.
So that is another thing. If you're looking for a defense to start this week with Will Levis not being the greatest quarterback and with him already having a lot of takeaways this year, you might look towards the Packers defense to start this week.
That Packers essentially average about 8 plays a game in which somebody on the opposing offense gets 15 yards or more. If the Titans are going to allow Tony Pollard to get a bunch of rush attempts and get a bunch of rushing yards, I think that Tony Pollard is going to break off a couple of runs of 15 yards or more. He could have a lot of chunk gains, and he could make do with his day as a fantasy play, as an RB2 play for you without having to do all too much.
You know, Joe, I got to say that I agree with you. I think that Tony Pollard definitely is going to be a big play in this game. Even as a Packers fan, I got to say that. I also think that Tajay Spears might be a fringe flex play because of that same reason as well. They just seem a little susceptible, if you want to say that, against a portion of their defense, and that is the run game. So, yeah, give me those two as some potential starts of the week for the Tennessee Titans. Packers, give me Josh Jacobs all day. I know he's questionable right now with that back. He had that back last week. I think he's going to be a go. If not, you know, you might want to pick up Emmanuel Wilson, you know. Otherwise, I think that Josh Jacobs is going to be an absolute beast this week.
And going into the 3 o'clock games, we have the Panthers and the Raiders to start off. We know Bryce Young is
fringe.
He's going to be benched for Andy Dalton. Do you see any change happening with the Panthers offense with Andy Dalton?
Not really. I think if you have their wide receivers like Deontay Johnson and, you know, maybe Leggett, you might see some more balls thrown down the field, a little bit more reckless, not necessarily recklessness, but, you know, just a little bit more controlled chaos maybe. So outside of that, I think you're still going to be seeing the run game pretty heavy. Miles Sanders, probably a decent running back 2 option if you need one to keep in your bench. I think that he's going to be, handcuffed to Chuba here for the next couple weeks until Jonathan Brooks gets fully healthy. So I like, if you need a running back to pick up, maybe hold on to Miles Sanders.
How are you treating Adam Thielen now that Andy Dalton's quarterback?
Realistically, I'm going to assume that that's his boy, and that guy is going to be a flex play for me. Realistically, when it comes to this stuff, I think that those guys that just have that natural rapport, which he did all that stuff for Kirk Cousins beforehand, I don't think it's going to be any different.
Yeah, normally I would argue with Dugo on that point, but if you go back to last season and the one game where Andy Dalton started, which was week 3 of the 2023 season, Adam Thielen had 14 targets with 11 catches, 145 yards, and he scored a touchdown. That was also a game where Andy Dalton went absolutely crazy. And in that week 3 game against Seattle in 2023, Andy Dalton went out there and tossed up 58 pass attempts with 34 completions, 361 passing yards, 2 touchdowns.
So new head coach, new schemes, all that stuff. But I think it's going to be, like I said, the same controlled chaos as before.
I think Andy Dalton does anything between 180 yards to 250. So let's say it's 225. I think he gets a touchdown, but I think he's prone to go ahead and also get a turnover. So my ranking for Andy Dalton this week is, he scores about anywhere between 13 to 15 points. I don't know how that ranks within your respective leagues, but he's a back-end QB2 for me this week. I think Adam Thielen has a great week compared to what he's done, but I don't think it's as explosive as what we saw week 3 against the Seahawks last year.
Fair enough. And then, all right, let's talk Raiders quick. They have had an interesting season. They just beat the Ravens last week, which props to them. I think if they keep that passing game going on, so that means if you have Devontae Adams, I think good things going forward could be in your play. Otherwise, Brock Bowers is an absolute fucking stud.
Top five tight end. Easy. Book it. Yeah, that's kind of all the players I give a fuck about from that game.
Wish Zamir White was more of a play, but he might be a flex at this point.
He is what he is. Next game is the Dolphins without Tua playing the Seattle Seahawks, 3:05 p.m. Zach Charbonnet is going to be an interesting play because we don't know if Kenneth Walker will be active. And we'll see if Raheem Mostert is starting this week. Devon Achane has been a monster, taking over the target share, taking over the backfield touches.
Loved seeing his strength last week. Just giving a thumbs up all those times when he was taking those big hits. Hope he's healthy going forward.
DK Metcalf had a big touchdown last week. Do you think that's sustainable?
Yes, but he is questionable coming into this week, it looks like. So I'm a little scared as a DK holder whether he's going to be playing or not. One thing that I was super excited about being a JSN holder in Dynasty, the guy had like 15 catches this last week.
Big game.
Love him. Absolutely love it. Love the integration. Big things going forward. Love JSN.
Next game is going to be a big one, and this is going to be the Lions versus the Cardinals. Dugo, we got a lot of big relevant fantasy football players involved in this game. Marvin Harrison just popped out into the fantasy football scene.
It's going to happen again.
4 catches, 100 plus yards, 2 touchdowns. He's playing Detroit with Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams breakout, Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs. He has James Conner and Kyler Murray on his side. Kyler Murray is QB4 this season. There's a lot of players in this game that are on your guys' teams. Dugo, this is a huge game for us this week. Detroit Lions versus the Arizona Cardinals. Between these two teams, just in terms of who wins as the overall unit, I guess who do you have coming out on top of this game?
Yeah, so realistically, man, I think that this is going to be a really interesting game because both these cats have played the Rams. So I feel like we kind of know what the strong point of these offenses are, which realistically, if you had to pinpoint it, is the passing game. So I think there's going to be a shit ton of passing in this game. It's going to be very high scoring, if you ask me, because as good as these offenses are, these defenses, they're pretty strong, but they seem to kind of break at some points as well. They seem to be kind of keeping up, like you saw against the Rams. Both of these teams have kind of kept it a buck when it comes to the red zone and held them to field goals, it seems like. So that's pretty sicko. One thing to keep in mind, though, I think that Marvin Harrison Jr., he's seen like maybe 8 targets most in his best game. If you're a holder this week, I think he's going to be somewhere up towards like 15 targets. I think it's going to be volume of plenty this week. It's not going to be like these deep down the field shots until later in the game, which I do think he is going to see. But I think it's going to be kind of switching up a bit. You saw them aired out early last week against the Rams, that being the Cardinals. I think that they're going to go short and then elongate it. And so running game might be effective if you have James Conner, even though the Lions defense is pretty stout up front. So now I think if we talk about the other side of this, right, if we talk about the other side, the Lions now, Jared Goff being the quarterback that he is, I just need him to be the volume guy that he's been lately, which means getting the ball out to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then every once in a while hitting my boy Jameson Williams for a deep tardy. You know, so that's what I need from him. He also has his boy Sam Laporta. And realistically, if you know the goddamn fucking Lions as of late, they're going to shove the ball down your throat as well with the run game with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. So don't forget about those two when it comes to this game. So expect a lot of play action, a lot of other runs up the middle just to try to build off of those pass games.
Okay. And I mostly agree with everything that you just said.
Oh, mostly. What don't you agree?
I don't think that it's going to be as much of a dink and dunk type of game to start it up. I think these teams are going to go deep. I think the Cardinals don't have the greatest DBs. I don't think the Lions do either. Marvin Harrison just had a blowout game. I think Kyler Murray is going to try to force it downfield. I got the Lions winning this game, and I have them getting a decent amount of turnovers. I actually have the Lions beating the Cardinals by a decent amount. But in my head and the way it goes, you know, in my brain, I have the Lions coming out. They have David Montgomery, who they can get easy yards with. They're going to convert a lot of easy points first half. Second half will be a lot of catch up from the Cardinals down mm-hmm. by maybe multiple scores. Meanwhile, Jared Goff, David Montgomery, and Jahmyr Gibbs are just eating all day. So maybe I don't have it being as much of like a dink and dunk competitive contest. But regardless, I do still have Jared Goff having a big day and the running backs as well. Next game, Ravens Whoa. And Cowboys.
Ravens, Cowboys.
Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Zay Flowers. Who scores more points between Zay Flowers and CeeDee Lamb?
I'm going to go with Zay Flowers. On the one reason why is because I saw that CeeDee Lamb had a questionable mark on him this week. And so just on the off chance that he is not going to play, which I doubt would happen, I just want to give it to Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers is going to see more targets going forward, though. I just think he just keeps building and building each week. So I think that I don't know if he's ever going to see like a 40-50 point game, but I think that he is going to start keeping the consistent 18 to 20 points possibly, man. He's getting more and more dynamic, if you ask me.
Lamar Jackson has been rushing the ball really efficiently this year. I think that continues against the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb eventually is going to get into shape. He's been doing pretty well. I think he'll do even better. Dak Prescott is coming off a bad loss in week 2. CeeDee Lamb is going to go ahead and get his catches up, get his receiving yards up this week. I believe Derrick Henry gets close to the end zone. This is one of my low-key games of the week that I think is actually relatively high scoring. And I think that Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson could be plays of the week. I think their number one, number two receivers could be receivers of the week if you guys are interested in participating in DFS lineups. Baltimore versus Dallas. I got Baltimore winning this game, but I got Dallas and Baltimore both airing the ball out and feeding their receivers. Next game we got, though, is the San Francisco 49ers versus the Los Angeles Rams. Between the two teams, no CMC, no Deebo Samuel, no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua. Dugo, between the Niners and the Rams and all of those new injuries, who do you have winning?
I realistically probably still have the 49ers still pulling it out. I mean, they still have Brandon Ayuk. They still have Jordan Mason out there still being an absolute dog. If you were to have picked him up in the offseason like someone on the podcast had, congratulations. I think that the 49ers still have just the more overall put together team at this moment. With all these injuries going around, I just think that 49ers still got it in the bag. The Rams, they have a decent team, but that defense is still kind of sputtering, if you ask me. The 49ers, they still look like they're a championship contender. I know last week they're kind of exposed by the Vikings. Maybe the Vikings are better than what we had thought. I doubt it, but at the end of the day, you do have to ask that question. Also could have been an off week and one of those weeks where they're just looking ahead towards Sean McVay as well. So who knows what it could have been. All we know is that it's over and done with, and the 49ers, if I know them like I do, they know how to bounce back.
Love it. With the Rams and Niners, Niners win the game. Tutu Atwell is the leading receiver for the Rams. Jordan Mason gets his rushing yards in, and Brandon Ayuk, he's over 3.5 receptions.
Man, realistically, dude, if you ask me for the Rams, I think that it's going to be DeMarcus Robinson as the leading receiver for that team. Last year when you saw this wide receiver core kind of go down, you saw DeMarcus Robinson jump in kind of as a hero. He jumped in as a hero for me some weeks for fantasy. Got me 10-plus points a couple weeks. So let DeMarcus Robinson be your play. I don't know if I like Tutu Atwell as much.
The reason I like Tutu is because Tutu is typically a starting three receiver. It's typically him, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp. So he has a lot of starting experience, but he's also the field stretcher between all the receivers. The Rams, who I project to be in a losing predicament against the Niners, they're going to have to go out there and get cheap points, get deep passes, attempt to throw the ball longer than 20 yards down the field. And I think Tutu Atwell is the most equipped to catch those passes, and have a big game. So I like Tutu Atwell this week just because he's normally a starter and he's the field stretcher. Maybe they need to stretch the field a little bit more against a team that they could be down against.
All right, quick, give me your synopsis on why you would start someone like Tyler Johnson if you're put in a predicament.
Tyler Johnson, receiver out of University of Minnesota a few years ago. He's a field stretcher. He catches a lot of balls downfield, and he did that with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. He serves a similar role in Los Angeles. DeMarcus Robinson, like you mentioned, is probably the closest comp to like a Cooper Kupp or like a Puka.
Yep.
He works a lot of intermediate routes. He's his own buster. But I don't think that the Rams' offense is going to be cohesive for more than 50% of the game. And I think at some point you get desperate, you need cheap points, and you toss it to your downfield threat. If Tutu Atwell can catch a couple passes in the fourth quarter while they try to come back, if he can catch a couple passes to start the game off while they try to get a lead, I think that's maybe enough to go ahead and provide value for you and your fantasy football teams. Tyler Johnson is pretty close to Tutu, but just hasn't gotten as many reps. So
also might be more just like a possession receiver compared to him as well.
Closer to that. Tutu's going to catch he's going to have the highest A dot. And even if he does get a lesser amount of volume, that high A dot, those large amount of air yards are going to add up and serve him in the best favor possible.
Makes sense.
Kansas City, Atlanta, last game of the afternoon.
Woo!
What do you got Rashee Rice doing statistically in the game against the Falcons tomorrow?
Dang, dude. If we're going to talk stats, let's say, all right, so we got their running back one down, who also helped out in the pass game a bit, right? At least with checkdowns and whatnot. I think week one was a really good example of how they utilized Rashee Rice with those checkdowns. So I would expect them to bring that back in large point and utilize someone like a Carson Steele possibly as like more of like a downhill runner. So I would expect maybe that transition in this offense for a little bit. That being said, Rashee Rice, I would say he's going to be somewhere around like 12 targets, I would say. let's say, 8 catches overall for, I'm going to go 105 yards and a touchdown.
Is Rashee Rice the most random wide receiver one this year?
No, I don't think so. I think there's obviously a lot of arcs coming into the play for the Chiefs because you had, you know, Hollywood Brown coming into the play, and then you had that freak accident with a sternum somehow, some way that he might not ever play ever again, it seems like. I mean, if you look at some of the reports, it seems like they're being a little extreme, but who knows what happens with that whole thing. But no, I don't think it's necessarily super like out of the ordinary, man. Like, you talk about such an explosive offense, and when you talk about someone that has, you know, a year under their belt of experience compared to as explosive as he is, a Xavier Worthy, who is extremely explosive, but he's a gadget guy that I don't want to put him in a lot of positions to take harder hits. So I can't necessarily have him on all the, you know, gadget plays where I'm putting him in danger. I can utilize Rashee Rice, though, because he's not necessarily as fast, but he seems to be as quick. So I feel a little bit more comfortable with him. So I think that's the position that the Kansas City Chiefs are, especially with their injuries right now. And I don't think they want to force any more. So, yeah, like I said, bro, give me about, like, 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown or so. So, yeah, I like that for Rashee Rice. If you're talking about Xavier Worthy, I think he's going to have a pretty decent game as well. I think that when you look at this Atlanta defense, as good as they are, they're old as shit for the most part, especially if you look at some of their defensive backs and their secondary. So look at them trying to expose them with Xavier Worthy in the slot. So I would see that a lot. And then, like I said, Carson Steele is going to be the running back one for this team this week. I expect him to be a top 10 running back this week.
I like the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game. Xavier Worthy, he had a big week one. Week two wasn't as big. He had 2 catches for like 20-something yards.
Right.
1 rush attempt. So you're going to have to deal with those boom or bust weeks with Xavier Worthy. Rashee Rice, on the other hand, is the guy. He is their wide receiver one, and he stepped into that role seamlessly. Right now, he's wide receiver 12 in all of fantasy football. Even if he does regress, he's at least a top 2 wide receiver for you and your fantasy team.
Facts.
Right? So with Rashee Rice, I think he's going to be a value the rest of the season. He's not someone I'm particularly looking to sell low on, nor is he anyone I really want to buy high into, right? Like, I don't want to buy high into him because Travis Kelce, who has severely regressed at some point, Travis Kelce is going to pick it back up.
Realistically, though, I think that might help Rashee Rice just in the sheer fact that he works kind of the outside or can work the outside more. So I do like that for him, but nonetheless, keep going.
Right. I think Travis Kelce, if he gets more volume, that's going to subtract from the volume that Rashee gets. Rashee's not making big plays happen because of A-Dot or because of air yards or how deep his passes are. He's making plays happen because of the volume. If Travis Kelce picks up volume, Rashee Rice will innately lose that. And I think closer to playoff season, he will lose that. So if you drafted him, congratulations. Enjoy the time that you have with him during this season. If you did not draft him, don't go out of your way to pick him up. He's one of those rare cases to where he is what he is. Don't go out of your way. Kirk Cousins, very popular pick.
Whoa.
Very popular pick at the end of drafts. Had a big game last week against the Eagles. This week he gets the Kansas City Chiefs defense that is, you know, pretty good at pass rush. Steve Spagnuolo. I'm not excited to start Kirk Cousins. I think the Chiefs could build up an early lead in which Kirk Cousins is just throwing up tosses and he's getting turnovers. But, yeah, I like the Chiefs this week, and I love Rashee Rice as a fantasy football player this week.
I could see a lot of checkdowns to Bijan Robinson this week just with the sheer fact that I think they're going to bring a lot of pressure towards Kirk Cousins. This offensive line for the Falcons hasn't looked great yet, so I would expect a lot of pressure, a lot of checkdowns. Expect Bijan to have a more than average week.
Washington Commanders versus the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football.
Oh, wow. We're going the late Monday night game first.
Yeah, I guess Cincinnati. Do you know if T. Higgins is playing this week?
So it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it does say that it's trending upwards, which gives me, as a T. Higgins holder, a little bit more of upbeat in my step. So right now, I don't have him necessarily starting for me, but I am checking that shit every day. By Sunday, I'm going to have to make a decision, at least Sunday night. I'm going to have to be able to make a decision. So if they aren't releasing it by then, I'm going to play it as he's not starting. If you're playing with me on that, you might be looking towards a Trenton Irwin or a Andres
Yosivas
as fill-in options, because those two have been pretty decent, Yosivas being probably the better option between the two.
I love Jaden Daniels this week, who's a rushing threat at quarterback. Terry McLaurin, we got to wait for him to get right. But Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler are two plays I feel really confident with at flex. I like Brian Robinson a lot. He had like 130 yards in week two.
Yeah, this guy's top 20 running back right now. Just start and sit.
At some point, you just got to acknowledge that the guy's good. He was good last year. He's good this year. New system.
But he took a bolt last year and still came back, and he's doing the shit again this year. Yeah, he's just good.
Facts. And last game of the night is the Jaguars versus the Buffalo Bills. Dugo, this is a game where a lot of people have fantasy stakes involved. We got Trevor Lawrence. We got Brian Thomas. Travis Etienne. Do you think Brenton Strange or Evan Engram gets to start at tight end for the Jaguars?
Well, I think realistically, I think Evan Engram gets the start. I think that realistically happens, but who gets more of the play? It seems like they're just trying to get this offense off the floor right now, which starts with a run game. And that starts with, I think, Brenton Strange being out there more often. I think that he's more of the, you know, run blocker of the group. And so I think that if you had to play someone, give me Brenton Strange, unfortunately, at this point, man. Like, as hard as that is, I think he's a top 20 tight end, which, I mean, to be that early in this year, it doesn't really take much. I think he had 8 points last week, which did it for him. So I would say, as of right now, give me Strange. I still hold out a little bit of hope for Engram to pull it around at some point, but he is 30. He is towards the end point of his deal that he had signed with them, so maybe he is just kind of flaking off, unfortunately.
Right. One guy I really like this week that I've been building up for the past couple of weeks is Travis Etienne. With the Buffalo Bills run defense, their run defense is susceptible to getting penetrated, particularly up the middle.
Pause.
And their middle of the field coverage isn't the greatest. Their linebackers are still kind of recovering on the Buffalo Bills front, missing guys once again like Matt Milano. Travis Etienne, who's a volume carrier on the ground and can also run a Texas route or run a reception route out of the backfield to capitalize on the middle of the field, he might be in for a big Monday night game against the Buffalo Bills. And on the Buffalo Bills end, I love James Cook. The Jaguars defense has trouble getting off the field on third downs. The defense is vulnerable to giving up big plays. And I think James Cook, who's been a volume dog, sees more volume.
Let James Cook.
So I like the two running backs in this matchup. As far as quarterbacks, I love Josh Allen against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, mostly because on third down, the Jaguars are one of the worst defenses, and Josh Allen gets his opportunities to carry across the third down line, make plays happen. When it's up to him, he usually rushes.
One point just to touch on the rushing note that you had said about the Bills. If you are going to play that, I do think that Tank Bigsby might be kind of an interesting shot in the cannon. Just if you need someone to just start Monday night, you know, like you had your flex guy drop out on you last minute and you just need someone. Tank Bigsby might be the guy as well. I know that week one he had led the team in rushing for like 70. So maybe see that again if they are a little susceptible.
I love it. I love it. That's our synopsis, the 16 games. That's too much information for your head tops. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja.
Hey, you know it's Dugo here. Appreciate y'all tapping again with those head tops.
If you don't already, you hit that follow button. Tweet us at the Gumbo Pod. And until we meet again, peace.